Hello and welcome to another episode of On My Last Eggs.
It's just that not knowing or understanding what the hell is happening to your body. And you do become a bit neurotic. You should get to the point where you hit 40 or 45 or whatever, and you get a letter from the doctor that says, right, we'll get you in and just to tell you what the menopause is, what could happen, you know, like a well woman type of thing.
I'm Rachel, and like millions of other women worldwide, I am navigating the wild throes of perimenopause. And over the next few weeks, I'll be lifting the lid on what that whole messy, confusing journey entails.
By the time the 20-year-olds now are menopausal, it won't all be well, but it will be talked about and normal.
Welcome to On My Last Eggs, a woman who I would describe as a collector of other people's stories, an author of Menopause, a Hot Topic. Sam Bunch, welcome, Sam.
Hi.
How
Thanks
are
for
you?
Having me.
You're welcome. You look in fine fettle.
Well, there's been a little bit of a transformation.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm 53 and I became menopausal at 48. My period's just stopped. 48, that was it. And life changed as I knew it. So for 4 years, we entered hell. And I'm one of these people that I've got to get it off my chest. And when I used to wake up in the night, I used to just write little notes, jot things down, my symptoms, my thoughts, my views, whatever. And I'm working on other projects. And I wasn't intending on writing a little book about the menopause, but it just felt absolutely right to purge it. And I did it really for me. And actually for my girls, because when my girls get to the menopausal age, can read it and go, okay, that's what's happening. It's not any medical book. It's not a point of reference. It's just a reality check of what it can do to you. So that's what I did. And I think I've finished my menopause. I say finished because I don't have anything like I used to have at all. But I've also now made an active decision to improve the way I am with exercise and I don't use the word dieting, but, you know, be more mindful of what I'm eating. And it is definitely having a positive impact on me.
Well, that's great news. I love that corner turning story so early on in the episode. But I'd like to go back to the horror, if we
might. Yes, go back.
So I heard you say 48 period stop. So relatively early. I mean, earlier than average for a complete cessation of periods.
Yeah.
Did you have any perimenopausal symptoms?
Oh, yes.
So let's go back before 48.
I was about 43. I started getting aches and pains, and I, like a lot of women do, and I know this because I've spoken to a lot of them about it, I thought, oh, am I getting arthritis? What's all these pains? I was forever at the physiotherapist or some sort of manipulative person. Thinking, I'm just going downhill. My mum had been through the menopause, but I didn't know what the menopause was apart from the fact your period stopped. So all these symptoms with hindsight, and again, because I list things, but I look back and thought, oh my God, there's stuff been happening for 3 years, which in fact was perimenopause. And I didn't know it was perimenopause. And I've subsequently talked to people who are in the perimenopause, and they don't believe they're in the perimenopause, but it's quite obvious to me that they are, because very similar symptoms and they're of that age, and it's likely that it is. And when the periods stop, then they'll reflect back and go, oh my God, yeah. It's just that not knowing or understanding what the hell is happening to your body. And you have to become a bit neurotic, but it's one of those things when you're a woman and you go through all the things that we go through in life. You should get to the point where you hit 40 or 45 or whatever, and you get a letter from the doctor that says, right, we'll get you in for just to tell you what the menopause is, what could happen, you know, like a well woman type of thing.
Oh my God, you've heard about my campaign. I'm starting a campaign.
It?
No, it's not, I haven't started it. I keep banging on about it to anyone who'll listen, especially if they're remotely like professional or a campaigner themselves. I've said this to GPs. Why do we not get a letter at 45? These are the list of symptoms you could be experiencing. If you think you are experiencing any of them and you're concerned, please give us a call for a chat. But I don't know why it doesn't happen.
No,
it could save a lot of agony and a lot of time down the line, a lot of prescribing of, you know, antidepressants for menopausal symptoms. And
I think there is something in the way that we are. I mean, there are obviously books written about the menopause 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. In fact, I did a little bit of research, and there's a lady back in the 12th century who wrote a little tiny bit in this book about the symptoms of menopause. So obviously menopause has been happening since we were all alive. But I think we're just becoming a bit more open and a bit more talking about things and not shoving things under the carpet. Like my husband's mum is 93. It's awkward for her to talk about. You know, that generation didn't talk about things. She just got on with it. And my mum's generation, my mum was 20 years younger, and she was much more open telling me about symptoms and stuff. But I've heard that's still quite uncommon. So I think the more open we become in, the better, and it will trickle through, And look at the younger generations. I mean, they talk about absolutely everything. So I do think by the time the 20-year-olds now are menopausal, it won't all be well, but it will be talked about and normal.
When your menopause actually started at 48, when, you know, that is that weird mythical moment when the clock ticks over to a year that you've not had a period and suddenly I'm postmenopausal. You said 4 years of hell. What were your symptoms and what was the most unusual, alarming, peculiar symptom that you had?
The most alarming and peculiar, and I remember it very, very vividly, and I also remember when it happened. And when it happened, I thought, I know this is a menopausal symptom because my mum had exactly the same. And it only happened a couple of times, but it was probably the most disconcerting. And it was like somebody had put a burning needle into the centre of my pupil and twisted it around.
Wow. Wow.
And you imagine that sharp, sharp, searing, burning pain, can't you? It takes your breath away. And I've subsequently spoke to women and they've some go, oh my God, I didn't know that was a symptom. It was phenomenal. And the one that went on the longest, and it did go on for 3 years, and I genuinely thought I would never be able to go on a long walk ever, ever, ever again, was Achilles tendonitis.
Oh, really?
Getting out of bed every single morning for 3 years and hobbling to the loo. Just unbelievably tight. I mean, so tight, so painful. It loosened off, obviously, the day went on, but I still wouldn't have gone on a very long walk because it was just too painful. And I just thought, that's it. But actually, no, I'm fine now.
And so you didn't get any HRT? You didn't have any help with anything? You just kind of pushed on through with it?
Verbal help. I think that's how I work. I like to have people to talk to who listen, ultimately. We don't necessarily need to know what they're talking about. It's nice if they do. But if you genuinely get somebody who listens to you and you feel heard, for me, that's half the battle. I'm not great with drugs. I mean, I've never been on the pill. I'm not good at taking anything. Everybody goes, put it by the kettle, put it by the toothbrush. I've tried all that stuff. I forget within 3 days, I forget to take it. It could be a vitamin C tablet or whatever. But I was prescribed it 3 times, but I didn't take it. It was almost, again, that sort of psychosomatic, psychological thing of I've been heard, I've been listened to, I've got everything off my chest, somebody's acknowledged it, and it seems to just lift me. And I don't know whether I've always gone to the doctors at a time where I'm at a peak. The third time I went, I would say within the next 3 or 4 weeks of that time, I then became on the decline of whatever that means, of menopause. And gradually, over the next 12 months, symptoms start to dissipate. And I was like, oh, that's gone. And I woke up one morning going, am I back? Am I here? Is this me again? I wouldn't say I'm a completely non-menopausal woman because I probably have 2 hot flushes a year. But I think if you're still having a hot flush, even if it's just one, that's obviously something still not quite. But I think that's no big deal and I can cope with that for the rest of my life if necessary. Memory's not so clever. that's good. I mean, that's proper gone. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's ever going to come back.
Well, I've just started on memory being so bad, I can't tell you what it is, but something I pump on to my skin, estrogen thing. I can't remember what brand it is or whatever without going and looking at it in the cupboard. Uh-huh. It's in a bottle. I pump it onto my skin. It makes me feel better, I hope. It's still early days, really, to say what that's doing. But actually, my brain fog was one of the symptoms that was really starting to impact me, is still impacting me because of what I do for a job. You know, I speak for a job and I respond in live situations to things. And I was just finding more and more words were going, and sometimes they would be kind of, you know, maybe fancy descriptive words. So you just sort of think of another one that pops into your head and hope no one noticed the gap. But sometimes they're words for something like the name of my HRT, which I currently can't remember. Yeah. And it wasn't getting any better, / it was getting worse. And I thought if HRT solves this, then I'm very happy. And it's interesting you say about the Achilles tendon, because I've just started getting just generally very achy. Like if I go on a car journey that's more than an hour, I have to kind of unfold myself from the car. I look like the Tin Man before he's been oiled in The Wizard of Oz. I'm like, and then I even do that thing. I sort of stand next to the car for a little bit, just standing, like, because I've tried to walk off and it doesn't really work. So I just stand there. Yeah, I'm just standing by my car. Yeah, just hanging. And then I'm like, yeah, I think I could probably walk now. HRT. Let's talk about HRT. I am taking HRT. I'm around 6 weeks in and I have nothing of note to report, but I'm optimistic. But I've been thinking about its bad press and how many women just won't even consider it, even though there is so much evidence in its favour. And then I thought, I know what this needs. It needs a rebrand, right? A bit of spin, something catchy, a new name, something Instagrammable. So go with me on this, because I want to try a few things out on you. Now, we're just brainstorming here, so no idea is a bad idea at this stage. Here goes. HRT. No longer hormone replacement therapy. How about how really terrific? Too glib? Possibly. What about this one? Help removing tiredness. Could work. Might be false advertising, though. Humour restoration today. Now, I like this one. We could all do with a bit more humour, right? Heat relieving tablets. Now, that one surely does exactly what it says on the tin. Heavenly relaxing tincture. There's a market for this one, right? I mean, who doesn't want to see the word tincture back in circulation? I know I do. Struggling, by the way, to think of things that begin with HRT, as you might be able to tell. Hell removed totally. Powerful, if a little dramatic. Heart rejuvenating tonic. It helps with heart health, right? So probably not even a lie, that one. Here's one. Her restored temperament. Now, I'm actually waiting for HRT to restore my temperament. And frankly, I'm getting quite impatient. So it's probably not helping with my temperament at the moment. But this one's good, okay? Holy ruddy turnaround. I mean, if you just see that emblazoned, holy ruddy turnaround. What's this going to give you? A holy ruddy turnaround. So there you go. HRT, the rebrand. This is only the early stages. If you've got any suggestions, please do join in at On My Last Eggs on all social media. Maybe you're a little bit better with the old new name acronym than I am. All right, enough of this frippery and nonsense. Let's go back to Sam Bunch. There's enough things impacting my life to see if this HRT malarkey is going to help me. I mean, I talk enough about it. I talk enough about people trying to get the help they need, but I don't really know where I'm at anyway with my Mirena. It's all very confusing.
This is the problem. At least when you got your period, you know what's going on. You know what your cycle is. You know if you're premenstrual, you get your period, you feel better, blah, 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 blah. There's no cycle to this. There's no routine to it. So you really are just like flailing about going, whoa. And it's... You know, it's very disconcerting. It is very disconcerting, and it's not nice. It's not fun. And actually, what are we getting out of it?
The stopping of periods is one thing, isn't it?
I didn't even mind having a period, actually, weirdly.
Well, what were your periods like, though? Because I think only people who don't have really bad periods say that.
Well, funnily enough, and I didn't know this was a perimenopausal symptom, and it happened in the very, very early days, like when I was 43, 44. Took my daughter to swimming one day and I'm driving in the car and I thought, shit, I'm having a contraction. And I'm not joking, it was a proper contraction. I'm not pregnant, what the hell's going on? And I was sweating and I was thinking, I'm going to have to pull over. Anyway, I managed to drop her off. I got home, there was this massive clot in my knickers and I thought, well, I've just given birth to that because that's what it was. But that was very, very unusual. I've never had anything like that before or since, actually. So whether that was a purging of stuff, I've no idea. I didn't go to the doctors with it. In fact, I took a photograph of it.
Lovely. You're my kind of woman.
Well, it was pretty. You know, it was pretty in pink. And I thought, what?
Let's have a little chat about your book. So Menopause, a Hot Topic, is 50 stories of women of their menopause experience. And I know that you are a great listener. You know, that's what you do. You interview people and you listen to people's stories. And I think that's quite an art, isn't it? And I think when it comes to menopause, listening and sharing are equally important. You know, it's really good to hear other people's stories. Sometimes it makes you think, oh, thank goodness mine's not as bad as that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it makes you think, oh, I have that too. It's great to have that sort of empathy and that sisterhood. But also talking is incredibly powerful, isn't it, to tell those stories. So what did it do for you writing the book?
I've got these other projects on. So this wasn't like, oh, I'm going to write a book about the menopause. It was almost like an instinctual purge. You know, if you see me writing my other books, they take years. This, I purged in 3 months and I just, boom, did it. And I just thought, this is liberating. It's fun. And I'm just purging. And it's not going to take me long to make it into a nice little book. I mean, it's the size of a postcard, you know, as in, it's a little fun gift type of thing. It's not something you're going to put on your intellectual bookshelf. But it's a nice, fun, lovely, just, oh, thank God for that. I'm not on my own. I interviewed 52, 53 women just to say, come on, give us a little, like you're doing with me, but just give me a little extract of what's gone on. And you get the whole gamut of things where people go, nothing's really happened very much, or where I'm suicidal. But I think, like you said, being listened to and being supported in that listening, I think it does masses for you, masses.
And you said at the beginning of this conversation that, you know, you're on a bit of a turning point. You've gone over the precipice or up the hill or however, down the hill. Into the light, whatever you might call it. But you feel like in the last year or so, from what I can gather, it's a bit of a turning point. Apart from just not having horrible menopausal symptoms and not having periods, how else has that kind of manifested itself? Have other areas of your life changed, sort of coming out of the cloud of menopause?
The problem is you come out and you don't realize you're coming out. It's retrospectively, again, a bit like the perimenopause. You sort of go, oh, I'm not feeling, oh, right, okay. And then it's a bit like, so what's next? And you're still going about doing what you normally do, but there's a sort of, I wouldn't say urgency, but do you know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, we're in the latter third of our lives, more or less, if you're lucky. And now it's like, well, let's cut to the chase a bit more. Let's have a little bit more liberation. Let's just do what you want to do without being, I don't mean about being selfish, but I just actually, selfish is quite good if it's productive and personal growthy to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I always had this thing. When my kids were at primary school, their head teacher said, your child, was their motto, your child will leave the school having reached their full potential. And that resonated with me. And I thought, I want to leave life having reached my full potential. I don't know what that means because I'm learning all the time. But, you know, the more you learn about yourself, hopefully, the better you become for yourself.
I kind of agree with that. But actually, it also, you know, I don't like the idea of ever reaching my full potential. I always like the idea that there might be a little bit more to go. I mean, you know, you can't sort of dust your hands off and go, yeah, that's done. You know, you
want to. But on the deathbed, I'd like to go, oh, I did a good job of that. But there's something about just trying to sort of understand so that you can be the best version of yourself. And if you know that you're a selfish bugger some days, and fine, accept that, embrace it. Let's not feed it.
I think as women, you know, we're, and humans actually, generally, men and women, in the society we now live in, that's so fast that we're constantly doing something. We don't seem to have downtime in the same way where you just sit and stare out of a window. I think for a lot of women who are postmenopausal, it often coincides with a time where they might have more free time because children have grown up. I mean, it doesn't for a lot of women because people are menopausing a little earlier and having kids later. So often they two things crash together. So you've still got kids at home to look after when you're postmenopausal. But for a lot of women, it might come at that time. And you have to kind of fight that battle about selfishness because actually, we're sort of conditioned to think that if we're doing nothing or we're not doing all the jobs that we think we're supposed to be doing, that we're being selfish, that we're being lazy. But actually, this is a really, really powerful time to kind of stop everything you can stop, and to sort of almost do a little bit of an audit about, well, what do I want to keep? You know, like I always used to, you know, do a load of washing every day. Well, actually, I don't need to do a load of washing every day because there aren't so many people in the house, or they can do their own bloody washing. Yeah. You know, I don't have to carry on cooking all the meals every day, or you know, it might be that, and it might be that you want to dedicate more time to your career, but it might be that you go, do you know what? I like, I love my career and it serves me well, but I don't actually need to earn any as much money anymore because, you know, we haven't got those same pressures. So I'm gonna cut back and have a bit more me time. And I do think it's really important if it feels like you're at that stage to, I mean, you talked about sort of making notes and lists and stuff earlier on. I think it's really important to engage with that, to start writing those things down and to start seeing where you might have a bit of space for nothing.
I think there's a natural curiosity, and I think we're all born with that, I'm sure, because look at us as babies. But there's something about life that obviously takes over and you get bogged down with all the crap. I'm interviewing these people at the minute and I'm typing stuff up, typing up the transcriptions, and I'm just deviating because I'm going off researching all the stuff they're telling me about, which is opening me up to this, oh, that's fascinating, I've got to go and have a look at that. This wealth of possibility. It's fascinating to know there's so much stuff to absorb and learn about and enjoy. And I'm not going to do anything because I tell you, it's just in the moment. It's very much in the moment because I can't remember all of it. I did a project on where I interviewed 100 women for my first book called Collecting Conversations. One of the themes that came up was this incessant worry. Women are worriers. And it's complete waste of time. I mean, we all know that. But when you hear it, you know, nearly 100 women saying how much they worry, and it becomes a big theme, and you're like, oh my God, why do we do it? What's it for? It's an absolute waste of time. And I think if we can be aware that it's a waste of time, so when you actually are worrying, notice yourself worrying and give yourself a little sort of, why are you doing that? Have you noticed you're worrying again? Have you noticed you're doing that again? Eventually, something might just switch that you're not so worrying, and then you're in the moment and you're enjoying it.
And do you think menopause makes us worry more? Makes us? I never had what I would consider anxiety until I was perimenopausal, and it did coincide with a few, you know, life things, my mum moving house, my daughter moving house, my mum becoming ill, you know, so I had some genuinely new concerns on the horizon. Do you think that we worry more I know anxiety is a symptom of the menopause, but do you think we worry more when things that feel like they're spiraling out of control? Do you think some of it is about control?
A lot of it's about control. What is it that we're all trying to control? It doesn't make any sense. And my current project, I'm interviewing 100 men. And the control thing is even more so. It's phenomenal, and how it manifests in people, how, you know, the OCD and the nervous dispositions and the anxiety and stuff. And it's obviously something that's not quite right in us, or we need to sort of address or sort of try and work out where this is going, because it's a waste of time. We're all going to be dead, you know, and we can look back and go, well, you did a lot of time worrying, a lot of time controlling stuff. Well, what for?
I mean, it's difficult with the menopause, though, because it's our bodies. Things are happening and they're little funny increments. I remember saying to the doctor, I just don't feel like me. And it felt the lamest thing to be complaining about. I mean, this is off the back of a lot of weird little symptoms I'd gone to the doctor with. And it is hard when you're spiraling out of control.
Oh, estrogen, where have you gone?
Well, now you are out the other side of it and it feels like things are, you know, getting better, calming down. What sort of nuggets of wisdom can you leave us with for those of us who are not out the other side of the tunnel yet? How, you know, I mean, don't lie to us. Don't lie, Sam, but please feel free to sugarcoat it.
I genuinely think in my experience, and obviously I've only got my experience, the women I've talked to, it's their experience, I'm not living it. My experience is when I was in it, it was shit, and I thought, this is the rest of my life now. And now I feel more or less back to my old self without the estrogen. So yes, I'm drier. Yes, I'm slower. Yes, I'm more achy, but it's not horrendous at all. It's definitely manageable. I do yoga, and I envy yoga. So it's a very, very structured, disciplined yoga. It's not fast and flowy. I don't use those words at all in yoga. Anything with heat and dynamicism, no. For me, that really, really works with my actual physical body. So that's helping a lot. And I've just very, very, very reluctantly taken up the couch to 5K, which I never in a squillion years said I'd do. And I have done. And that's made a big difference as well. Yeah, because that old cliche, move your ass, does work. You know, it shifts things around.
I've got a great quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm going to do an impression of him for this quote because I think it's great because I heard him say it and it stuck with me. A body in motion stays in motion. So you got to keep moving, as Arnie says.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. That's the other thing, sugar. I've been a sugar addict my entire life. I grew up in a sweet shop.
You were literally like a kid in a sweet shop.
Yeah. And I have eaten cake. Anybody who knows me knows I'm absolutely obsessed with cake. And I've just stopped it all, which I can't.
And you feel better for that?
Yeah. I've basically matured.
Finally.
Yeah, that's exactly it, finally, because most of my mates in their 40s were doing this already. I wasn't. I was still clinging on to my inner child. Well, she's been shut up for a little bit. None of this getting in touch with your inner child. She was too, get out, woman. You're a bit more sophisticated.
Well, I'm glad to hear things are going so well for you. Thank you so much for being a guest on My Last Eggs. Sam Bunch, author of Menopause, a Hot Topic. You can follow on My Last Eggs with new episodes released every Monday from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. Thank you for listening.